Hope College, how you all doing? That's another question there. All right. So I have the privilege of introducing Taylor Calloway. Y'all give it up for her. She is a freshman from Chicago. Shout out to Chi-Town. And she is an electrical engineering major, and she's super awesome. You should get to know her. She's going to read our text today, which is Lamentations chapter 3, verses 55 through 66.
I called on your name, O Lord, from the depths of the pit. You heard my plea. Do not close your ear to my cry for help, but give me relief. You came near when I called on you. You said, "Do not fear." You have taken up my cause, O Lord. You have redeemed my life. You have seen the wrong done to me, O Lord. Judge my cause. You have seen all their malice, all their plots against me. You have heard their taunts, O Lord, all their plots against me. The whispers and murmurs of my assailants are against me all day long. Whether they sit or rise, see, I am the object of their taunt songs. Pay them back for their deeds, O Lord, according to the work of their hands. Give them anguish of heart. Your curse be on them. Pursue them in anger and destroy them from under the Lord's heavens.
This is the word of the Lord. Y'all give it up for Taylor. So you all will notice I'm not up here today. I almost fell out the chair. Not up here today. We're doing something a little different. It's called a sermon by committee is what I'm calling it. And the idea is to have faculty and staff sort of read a text, just like, you know, I would if I was preaching or one of us, we were preaching, and be able to share, you know, from their experience how they see the text. If you are in Christ, then the Holy Spirit takes residence inside of you, and that means you can interpret Scripture too. It's great to have pastors. It's great to have community around you to help you do that, but you don't necessarily have to get their input, if you will. So that's kind of the spirit behind this. So I got a couple questions for Dr. Vicki Lynn Holmes. Y'all give it up for her. Education department
and
math. How long have you been here?
This is my 10th year.
10th year. All right. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Originally from?
D.C.
Washington, D.C., District of Columbia. Awesome place. And then we have Jerry Root, his chaplain of athletics here. Y'all give it up for Jerry. Jerry was a public school teacher for how many years, Jerry?
33 years.
33
all in public
years.
Schools. Yep.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep. Awesome.
Excellent.
Awesome.
Social studies, so I just point to the top of my head. Lost all my hair.
So we're going to go ahead and get started. This semester, we're sort of in Philippians throughout the semester and then in Lamentations for Lent. And so this is our third week in Lamentations. The idea is joy and pain together or joy in suffering. And so our text is Lamentations 3, 55 through 66, which Taylor read. What has the Spirit of God been showing you as you've sort of been reading through that text? Either you can go.
Well, I'm going to start with more where, I don't know if this is going to be like one of your questions as you ask it, but we're talking about sharing how we cope through some of the suffering, suffering that's gone on in our lives. And so I'm going to start with that.
That's fine.
Okay, thank you. So, for me, I know that I know that I know that God is a very present help in times of trouble. And so that's not like reading off a scripture. I mean, I know it. I know my God. I know that. And so when suffering or times, hard times come, I don't run to alcohol or run to escape through my books. I can run to Him because I know that He is present. He's a present help in times of trouble, right? A real help. And so I cry out to Him and ask Him, help me. You know, and I'm going to give you an example of what I mean by that. So this is the part where it says, I called on your name, O Lord, from the depths of the pit. You heard my plea, and you came near when I called on you, and you said, do not fear. So I'm going to give you an example so you can see what I mean. So I was on my way to the mission field, and my husband and I, this is my ex-husband and I, were going to minister in Mexico. So I went to D.C. to see my family, and he was going to meet me there, and then we were going to go on. So I get this call, and I answer the phone, and he says, oh, I need to confess something. I said, all right. And he said, I want to confess that I've been having an affair, and I've been having several affairs since we got married, and one with your colleagues and one with your best friend. And I'm like, you know, the earth tilted. And you've seen the Twilight Zone. It was like shock. And I'm thinking, aren't you supposed to be coming down here so that we can go to the drive from D.C. to California? And I'm like, oh, my God. But that was it. Oh, my God. That's what I said. And not as a slang, but as a God be with me. Because since I know he's a present help in times of trouble, I know that I can call out to him real. And that's what I said. Help me. And that's all I had to say. And God told me every morning just to wake up and say, good morning, God. And that was hard. But see, I had a relationship with him. And so in that time of trouble, I could lean on that and say, God, you're walking with me through the valley of the shadow of death. You're with me so that I can get to the light, right? This isn't the end. You are with me. I'm not, you know, ugly, unworthy, blah, blah, blah. You know, the thing the devil tells you when something goes wrong. You know, none of that. It's like, I have him. And so that's my go-to, that I know him, and he's a presence for me to wrap my head around.
Amen. Amen.
We didn't compare notes beforehand, but so as I read it, I read this passage this week, there were a few things that really, really struck me, and I take great comfort in these promises. So it starts out with saying that when we cry out, God hears us. And to me, that's if you really stop to think about the God of creation hears my cry. So I'll just start there. First of all, he hears my cry. He listens. Secondly, he comes near. And if I'm really honest with myself, and I think you could probably echo the same thing with me, is the cry of your heart and the cry of my heart is I really do believe we all desire intimacy with God. And so this concept of God coming near is one that I really want to think deeply about and experience. And then I just can't believe that Bruce and the team sang the Lauren Daigle song, How Can It Be? The very first time I heard that song, the phrase, he pleads my cause, just jumped off. I just couldn't get my mind off from that particular phrase. And here it is in our scripture this week. You came near when I called, and you said, don't fear. Lord, you took up my cause. And so, you know, Trigg uses the phrase quite often to expand our imagination. Well, that's that phrase right there, that God pleads my cause. I want a greater imagination of what that looks like. The context of how I viewed this scripture this week comes out of one of grief. Mm-hmm. So from the age of 12 to 38, I experienced just an incredible number of premature deaths, starting with being with my uncle when he drowned, to having a brother who was killed in Vietnam, to having a good high school friend killed in an automobile accident, to a few years later in my extended family experiencing suicide, and then even a little later, experiencing death as a result of cancer. So in some respects, I don't like to say this, but in some respects, I'm a little numb to this idea of death. It just seems so natural. Well, it's resurfaced in the last 6 months. One of a very close neighbor of mine who died of a brain tumor. But then at the other end of the spectrum, my 93-year-old mother passed this past October. Now, those are the kinds of deaths you expect, right? But it's the premature ones that you just can't help but cry out to God, why? And God, how could you let these things happen? But, you know, obviously it's been a few years that I've been able to process all this, but the concept of God hearing me and the concept of King Jesus pleading my cause has really brought me great comfort. I said to James earlier tonight, in some respects, this has been a kind of a blessing and a curse preparing for this. Mm. A blessing in that I've reclaimed these promises. A curse in that I've kind of relived them for the last couple weeks after he asked me to join this team tonight. So I'm going to hang on to that promise right there. He pleads my cause. He hears my cry. And so that was a long answer to a short question.
No. Y'all are both on it. This is good stuff, particularly for, you know, young college students who have maybe had some ups and downs, but it can help prepare them for life, you know, because life is not this cookie cutter thing that you get sometimes on like a Hallmark movie. Jesus said, in the world, you will face persecution. Mm-hmm. And also Timothy, when he's writing Timothy, he says, all who want to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. I'm going to skip to the third question because I think you guys already answered that. But Max Lucado, who's a pastor in Texas and a best-selling author, he writes in his book, In the Eye of the Storm, a season of suffering is a small price to pay for a clear view of God. A season of suffering is a small price to pay for a clear view of God. You've all shared a little bit, but are there any other examples that you would share about how suffering has sort of pushed you closer to a relationship with the Lord?
Definitely, definitely. This was one of the questions that was the hardest to answer because I could go in so many different directions, and I really prayed. So what I wanted to share with you is the season of suffering that I went through, and then I want to show you what real suffering was. And when you see the difference, you can say, oh, I get what she's saying. So I had this 1 month in November, and this was the month of hell. And this isn't like cursing. It really was. This was a month. I'm going to share in 30 days what happened in 1 month. And then I'm going to let you see, God brought me through this like a champ. And one of these things would have been enough to crawl into the fetal position. But that's not what was really my most lament. And I'll share this in a second. So in this 1 month, this is what happened. My son was born on January 3rd, and this November 3rd. And this was his birthday month. And he got murdered on his birthday. Then my dad was diagnosed with cancer and said that he wouldn't live past Thanksgiving. Then I lost my best friend, premature death, right? Then I was raped by a person who I thought was a friend, and then I had to deal with all of this. Oh, my God, you know, will I be pregnant? STDs? Okay, that's the month of November. That was 1 month. God was with me, walking through me, helped me. He's the lifter of your head. Help me, you know, sustained me, let me just cry and boohoo and fall apart. That was cool. Now, we're on a bright, sunny day. This is later. Bright, and all that was good. Everything was happening fine. Later, bright, sunny day, and I'm in Kentucky. I'm working on my dissertation. I just met this nice new guy. Everything was going really well, and I heard God say, come closer, you know, come deeper. And I was like, no, God, you know, I don't really want to because everything in my life is going so nice right now. And I'm in control, and this is really good, and I just kind of want to stay surface, you know. I'm happy, you know. And it's kind of like I heard it again, you know, like, you know, I don't really want to hear you, you know. I don't want to hear you. And he was like, okay. And so, okay, what did I learn? It was like he left me. I'm still a Christian, right? I'm going to heaven. But his presence, that presence left me. And I realized, wait a second. God is not someone to trifle with. God is still God. God loves me. He woos me, right? But he doesn't need me. I need him. I need him, right? I never wanted to go through that darkness again. That was a dark time. That was worse than all the things that could happen to me. Because the things, remember, he's a very present help in times of trouble. The things, cast your cares upon him because he cares for you. The things you can handle with him. But not experiencing his presence when he is life and light, Oh my God, that was the worst thing and the worst time of my entire life. And I've had a lot of ups and downs, right? But that was the worst thing in my entire life and something I'd never want to go through. So I learned that God is gracious and God is good and God is merciful and kind and loving, but he's also God.
So suffering, wow, how do you follow that? Suffering, I think, has raised my awareness of a desire for intimacy with God. But how that has played out is, especially in the last 10 or 15 years of my life, I've learned to use Scripture to shape my prayers. I'm not saying I'm this Mr. Holy or anything like that, but I am learning to pray differently. And so using the language of Scripture, if you are ever going through a period of lament and suffering, and it will happen to you at some point. Maybe it's happening right now. So I'll give you an example. In the church that I attend, we've been going through Psalm 18. And the very first six verses of Psalm 18, you mark this down if you want to try this for yourself. Listen to how Psalm 18 starts and ask yourself, have I ever started my prayer this way? Ready? Here it is. I love you, O Lord, my strength. Now, I'm just going to stop there a minute and examine how I tend to pray. Dear God, thanks for this day. Be with my family. I pray for these things. Nothing wrong with those kinds of prayers, but to start my prayer with, God, even in my suffering, I love you. You are my strength. Listen to just some of the other phrases that are found in these first couple verses. The Lord is my rock. The Lord is my fortress, my deliverer, in whom I take refuge. He's my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call to the Lord who's worthy of praise, and I am saved from my enemies. Well, what I've learned is, to begin using Scripture to shape my prayers has brought a sense of greater intimacy with God. So I would encourage you to try that. Use Scripture to shape your prayer. The other thing that I think suffering or grieving in my case, how that has brought me greater intimacy with God is I have a renewed or perhaps it's aroused within me an intense desire to think deeply about resurrection. Man, I want to jump right to resurrection. I know we're in Lent and we have to deal with suffering first. I know that. But to think really, really deeply about the significance of resurrection is the cry of my heart. And then, if you think of Vicky's story or my story of grieving all these premature deaths, the cry that has become a normal part of my prayer life is, oh God, come again and make all things right. Renew it the way it was supposed to be. This whole concept of shalom. So, going through suffering stinks. It's not fun. It's hard. But the joy that can come out of that is this deeper intimacy. And for me, it's been experienced through a deeper prayer life and then these ideas of resurrection and then just crying out to God, will you please come? Will you please come again? And that is a promise that we get to claim. So.
Yeah?
We didn't do the joy one, but I just wanted to say, because one thing was about sustaining joy, but life is going to do like this. But when we stay with God, we can do like this. So we don't have to do the roller coaster ride, right? I mean, life can go like this, but we in him stay, right? And that's what you want. And that intimacy and learning how to breathe alive the scriptures, and because it's the word that doesn't return void, right? And Jesus is the word, right? So as we do that, not reading the scriptures like it's dead, but coming alive in it, that's how we hang on. That's how we keep joy. Joy isn't like, a high.
joy is what sustains us. The joy of the Lord is our strength.
Amen. 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 So last question. In the introduction to a novel, it's a great novel. I read it in seminary. I'd suggest it's called The Diary of a Country Priest. These words are in the introduction. Saints have a difficult position in society, not because they suffer. We all suffer. They, however, are ambassadors of truth in a world of illusion. Our world is more of an illusion than ever, a narcotic upon senses and judgment. So as the last question, is there sort of any advice, any counsel with all your experiences, good, bad, and ugly, that you would share with Hope College students? Is there anything that you would tell your college age self if they were, you know, if you were sitting in those pews?
Yes. I would say get to know God. I mean, I had a lot of scriptures in what I said earlier, but I didn't say chapter and verse. I just say the word because it comes out of me, right? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So I want you guys, and I would say this to my younger self, get to know him. And I mean really know him intimately and relationally, right? So that when you talk about him, you know, he's real. He's that real to you. And then when the rough times come, as I said, you don't have to do like this. And the rough times will come, but you have to know that you can trust his word. You have to know that, you know, he's not a man that he should lie, or the son of man that he should repent. Has he not said, and will he not do it? You have to know that he delights in you and he's for you. And all those scriptures that are in the word that talks about how he'll rescue you and redeem you. I do want to say this one. This is Psalm 91. I think about this because I say, okay, because he loves me, therefore I will deliver him. And then I personalize it. I say, because I love God, God said that he would deliver me, right? He would deliver me. I will set her securely on high because she has known my name. She will call upon me and I will answer her. I will rescue her and honor her. And with long life, I will satisfy her and show her my salvation. You know, I hang on to that because what you put in now is what's going to come out, because the life is a crucible. And when those suffering and hard times come, what's going to come out of you? Curse words or God's word? What's going to come out of you? Despair or hope? Because we have a God of hope. So I'm like, prepare now for the future, right? Prepare yourself now that you'll be ready.
Yeah, so wrestling with lament, man, I wouldn't wish suffering on any of you, on any of us, right? But it will happen. And so I read a quote this week that I think applies. Listen to this. The depths of God are not found in books or debates, although they can be helpful. The depths of God are found in the pits of adversity and sorrow and suffering. Well, it stinks that it sometimes takes that to go to the depths of that intimacy that we all desire. But I think it's been my experience in my life that it's when I've been in those desert experiences that I've experienced God at a depth that can hardly be explained. And this idea of that we experience peace that passes all understanding, I'm going to claim that. I'm going to claim that very much so. And then the last thing I would say, if I could go back to myself back in college, oh man, those were some crazy days. But I would say, you know what? If you have suffered, you have a story to tell. If you have experienced God's grace and mercy and comfort, and this idea of God being your wonderful counselor, your Prince of Peace, you have a story to tell. And our world desperately needs to hear your story of how God has transformed you in that experience. So, you know, sometimes it's hard to do, but I would just encourage you to be light. That's we are people of story. People can't argue against your story. If God has redeemed you and has shown you great mercy in those times of suffering and lament, share it. That's a powerful testimony.
You all give it up for Jerry Root and Dr. Vicki Lynn Holmes. So grateful. If you don't know them, I'm sure they would love to get to know you, pray with you, stop by their office, anything. They're great, great people. I'm glad to know them. Let's pray. Gracious, loving God, our Father, as Jerry said, we all have a story. And if we have a story that's wrapped in the larger canopy of your story, then we are considered your children. We're adopted into your forever family. I pray, Lord, for Dr. Holmes and for Jerry Root. Lord, would you bless them exceedingly? Would you keep them? Would you prosper them? Would you be their portion, their manna that they need every single day, every single hour? Lord, Scripture says that all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. God, I'm grateful that these two people up here love you and are called according to your purpose. And for the rest of us, Lord, I pray that you would allow us to realize that not everything that happens in life is good, but your desire, your will is to use every nook and cranny of our life, the good, the bad, the ugly, the mundane, to draw us closer to you. Let it be so, in Jesus' name, amen.